You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes!
That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, the $20 million man, if you will, Yahoo Sports, Marcus, straight cash homie Vandenberg. What is going on, brother Marcus?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I am doing well, Marcus. Right off the top, we've heard about the big deal today between Yahoo Sports and the NFL. Is that money finding its way directly into your pocket, brother?
How can I put this without getting in trouble? No.
I mean, I was just going to say, if you were getting a little extra bread, the Kings of Sports Studios could use some renovation.
Yeah, nah. I'll actually be in a studio. Well, not a studio. I'll actually have a desk next week. But no, I'm not seeing any of that money that's going to Roger.
that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to get you in trouble with anybody. I was going to make some statements about Roger Goodell, but we can leave that for another day.
We won't go there.
We won't go there.
Maybe October 26th. Maybe after day after the game.
So pencil that on your calendars. October 26th, we coming with the real heat. Yeah. Some hot takes on Roger Goodell in the NFL. But it's been a week since we last talked, at least on air, Marcus. So how you been since the last show?
Yeah, I have a non-sports story off the top to share. So 2 days before the wedding, and as you know, I have Crohn's disease, and I've had it now for going on 11 years. And 2 days before the wedding in April, I had a bad night where I was in pain, and I figured, it was probably just something I ate or, just stress from the wedding. But the pain continued over the following weeks through the honeymoon and whatnot and through the Mayweather fight. So came back after the Mayweather fight and saw my doctor and tried to figure things out. And this past weekend, it finally got to the point where the pain became a little too much, and the wife made me go to the hospital. So Saturday, I went to the hospital, and I was there for a couple days. Nothing too serious. We figured out the issue was I was taking a medication, and the medication I take every 4 weeks, and I injected it myself, essentially. It's like the push pin, like the EpiPen almost. And okay. The medication, my body became immune to it, and I didn't know. So I was taking this medication all this time, and it really wasn't doing anything for my body. So
is this the good hair medicine, or is that a different medicine?
Oh, it's just like a different medicine. I became immune to that one too. So I'm now on my fourth medication. So essentially, I was taking this stuff, and my body wasn't responding to it. And I knew something was wrong, but yeah, I'm pretty stubborn. And
We know black men don't go to the doctor.
Yeah, that too. I did have it. I had an appointment, a follow-up lined up for Monday, and I was trying to make it to Monday, but I just couldn't make it. So Saturday I went in, and they ran some tests, and they discovered that I did have some inflammation going on in my intestines, which was causing all the pain I was having. And they treated it right away with some steroids, and I was out by Monday afternoon. So I am feeling better. I'm off work this week as a result, though. And I'm going to a new medication that I'm going to start pretty soon. So that was my weekend.
So you are officially on steroids now. You're taking performance enhancing drugs.
I am. Me and Ronnie are both
on the PEDs.
Yeah.
Oh man, well, it is good to know that there was nothing serious going on, and then now you're gonna get this new medication. Wouldn't it be crazy if the new medication like straightened out your hair?
Ooh.
And you just walk around looking like Cat Williams for the rest of your life?
With a perm?
Yeah.
I gotta read the side effects of this new thing.
May give you a perm. Do not use if you live in downtown LA.
Yeah.
That's real quick though, Marcus, in terms of health and things of that nature, let's just say, obviously, that this is not a route that you've gone, but we know that the medicinal marijuana is legal in California. Could you, if you wanted to, get a prescription?
Yeah, I've thought about it. I haven't had a real conversation with my doctor about that, but I know people who have Crohn's who use it for the cramping. And that's the one major issue I have is the pain in my stomach. And not only that, I'm a pretty skinny guy. And, you know, some marijuana and some munches would add on some pounds.
Put on some LBs.
Yeah, but I haven't had a real conversation with my doctor to go over the pros and cons of that whole process.
Okay. Interesting. And have you seen that Key and Peele sketch where the guys try to get medicinal marijuana?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's great because the doctor's like, you know, you just give me something, you know, that I can prescribe it for. It doesn't have to be too elaborate. And the guy's like, I got leprosy. And he's like, if you tell me you have leprosy, I've got to test for leprosy. Oh, okay, I get it. I have I have pneumonia. And he's like, you obviously don't exhibit the symptoms. And they just go do this back and forth, and the guys keeps trying to get weed, but he's giving up all these elaborate diseases, and the doctor just gets frustrated with him. So yeah, Key and Peele, good show. We highly recommend it. I think it's time we get into some sports, though, Marcus.
Let's do it.
You know, we've given the audience a glimpse into our lives, and you know, those that listen regularly to the show know that Marcus Vandenberg is up for election with the NABJ. But there is someone who recently won an election that is having to step down, Brother Marcus, in the world of sports, and that is one Sepp Blatter.
Yeah, so Sepp Blatter, the now former president of FIFA, won his re-election last week, and the election came days after a bunch of his board members were arrested as part of a FIFA raid that's been going on. So the election came at a weird time, and as what is wont to do with FIFA and elections like this, there's really no surprise that Sepp Blatter won, because Sepp Blatter controls the money, and a lot of these smaller countries get kickbacks for their votes. And so Sepp won, and after the weekend...
Did you hear his great speech on Friday, though?
He said he's the president of the
world. I'm the president of everyone.
Everyone, yeah.
thank you for re-electing me. I'm the president of everyone.
For like 4 days. So after the weekend, and after more swirlings of another investigation coming down, more arrest, Sepp Blatter decided to resign from his post as president. FIFA is such a bizarre, just a fucked up sport. I mean, this guy has been, he's going on his fifth term. He knew nothing really changed from last week and this week in terms of his status. So I don't know if it was an ego thing where he just wanted to win the election just to prove a point, or if he's really feeling the pressure. I know there was some mention about him possibly coming over to the United States for, I believe, the Women's World Cup, which would have been an issue because he would have been probably arrested on the spot. So he's now stepping down, and we're back to square one in terms of where we were for a FIFA president going forward.
So do you think the guy that lost is going to automatically be the front runner, or is some new guy going to arise?
Well, there's going to be another election. What I read, the election won't be until like later this year, and he's going to remain president until then, of course. So, I mean, this would really be stretched out until 2016 at this rate.
This is crazy. So there's a couple things. First of all, I need some clarification, Marcus. And you know, you are the learned journalist here, and I am the soccer neophyte. But am I correct in, you know, people have been saying this is his second term as president? Like, he was elected to a second term as president?
Oh, this was his fifth.
Okay, because that was the thing, because I was hearing people say his second, and I was like...
17 years now.
Yeah, I was going to say, this dude's been in that position since, like, I was in college.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's one thing. Okay, but now the second thing, Marcus, is what do you think is going to happen from this? Because as we saw last week when all of his surrogates were getting popped, you know, whenever you have that many people being, you know, facing imprisonment and things of that nature, somebody's going to flip. It's bound to happen. We've seen it time and time again. What do you think was the reason that Blatter did not resign before this? Because, you know, you could see that something was going to happen. And part two of that question is, what do you think is in the cards for Blatter now, going forward?
I think it was an ego thing. I just think he's just so aloof and just on his own island in terms of his importance. And you mentioned someone flipping. This whole thing started because of Chuck Blazer, and he was the first guy to really flip on FIFA.
Which is a great name for somebody that's kind of the whistleblower.
Yeah.
Chuck Blazer.
If you're not familiar with this daily news story, I came across it when I was doing the APSC judging in February. They submit their investigation stories, and one of the stories was this New York Daily News piece they did on Chuck Blazer, who essentially dimed and flipped on FIFA. And the highlight of the story was the fact that they were bringing in so much money that this dude, Chuck Blazer, was spending $6,000 on an apartment just for his cats in New York City. So that's the type of money we're working with here in FIFA. It's $6,000 a month for some fucking cats.
You know, somewhere like, well, the rent's too damn high was that guy Jimmy McMillan.
Yeah,
like he was reading the New York was it New York Daily News?
Mm-hmm.
Like he was reading into $6,000 for some damn cats.
Yeah,
like the rent is too damn high.
But you know, in terms of going forward, I think the big issue is what to do with the upcoming two World Cups. That, you know, the fact that Qatar has a World Cup is a bit of a sham, and considering that they had originally wanted to put it in the summertime when it's 120 degrees, if that doesn't tell you that there's money going on, money being exchanged between these countries, then I don't know what is. So it wouldn't surprise me if they somehow decided to put one of those World Cups back in play, either 2018 or 2022. 2022 is Qatar. 2018, I believe, is Russia.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna move Russia.
Yeah, I don't think you want them problems.
you don't want them Putin problems.
No. So Russia
Putin
will let you go.
Say that part of this was he put this on America, like, oh, this is just America being sore losers.
Well, what are your thoughts? I mean, that's an interesting question because, I mean, this really came from Loretta Lynch and the U.S. side now sort of getting involved. I mean, don't we have other issues to worry about?
Right, right. Like, now you want to care about soccer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that Putin's 100% right, but I do think that the timing is very convenient, you know, in terms of, okay, now we're going to get engaged in this corruption that has been going on. Even this corruption did not start with Sepp Blatter. Like, it precedes Blatter.
Yeah.
And it's like, now you want to get involved and make a statement and right the wrongs in international football.
It's all very icky because, I mean, United States finished second in the 2022 voting, and I don't know if this is all part of a plan to get the U.S. the World Cup in 2022 or what, but...
Let's say they go back and rescind the Qatar decision,
mm-hmm.
and they take another vote and it goes to the U.S. Doesn't that look shady now?
It looks just as shady as what FIFA did from the jump, yeah.
Right. You wonder why people in America don't care about soccer. Well, I won't say everyone, but a lot of people don't care about soccer.
Yeah, but I mean, the big issue with Qatar is the number of people who have died in for preparation for this World Cup, which is still 7 years away. I think up to 5,000 workers have already died just from building these massive stadiums.
Yeah.
It's just a really disturbing situation that's going on. And if you're going to rescind the World Cup, then I think the U.S. probably shouldn't be involved in the bidding process. Just to be fair.
And this is something that really only gets talked about every 4 years or so, but I remember the last one, and it's like you see all these people being displaced in, was it Brazil?
Yes, for the Olympics.
All the people being displaced because of these massive stadiums being built, and you know, the people being most affected are the poor people. And it's like, come on, man, like all of this for a game?
For a game for like a month, and that's it.
Right. And now for the rest of time, you have these huge stadiums that people cannot use or cannot, you know, even if you find a use for them, the people in the communities really can't afford to go to these events.
Yeah, I mean, look at, just go back to Sochi a couple years ago, and you can see what's happened to some of those stadiums where they're just either abandoned or they've been torn down because there's no use for them. Same thing with Beijing. They had all these stadiums pop up, and once the Olympics were done, they were gone. I mean, the good part about the United States is a lot of these stadiums we have are in use. They'll be used long past the Olympics and not being built specifically for the event. So, you know, I think it's been a while since we've hosted Olympics, right? It's, what, 96 for a summer?
Yeah, back in Atlanta, yeah.
So we might be due for that coming up soon as well, which would be interesting.
That was the one with your boy, the Richard Jewell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, remember Richard Jewell, everybody? Oh, poor Richard. But, so Sepp Blatter stepping down. He is no longer the president of everybody. Let's shift to the hardwood, Marcus, where we are recording this on the eve of the NBA Finals tipping off. And we'll see if the president of the Heat is going to be making a interesting decision in the near future regarding one of the organization's most, I'd say, most important players in the franchise's history.
Oh, easily.
And then that is, of course, Dwayne Wade. And there's been reports coming out. I believe Ethan Skolnick had a report out today in regards of the impasse right now in terms of Dwayne Wade and the Heat trying to renegotiate a contract.
Yeah, you know, Dwayne Wade has been the guy who's been asked to take pay cuts in the past with LeBron and Chris Bosh from out of town. And with all that out of the window in the past, he wants his money. And the Miami Heat are looking at Dwayne Wade and his production, and they can't justify paying him Matt's money. So it sounds like they're a bit of an impasse, and I don't know if it'll get resolved. I think if it's up to Pat Riley, it might get resolved. But in terms of, you know, they're at a bit gap here. I think Wade is looking at $20 million a year, and the Heat are talking about less than $10 million a year. So,
yeah. Like, it's a huge gap. They're not close at all.
That's a huge gap. And if you let Wade walk, who has been the face of the franchise since the Alonzo Mourning days, essentially, that's a huge blow for a city that does not really support sports as most cities should. You got to have a winning franchise in Miami for fans to come out. And if Wade were to walk and to leave, in addition to what happened with LeBron last year, then it could be pretty sad times in Miami.
Yeah, Wade is really the only question mark homegrown star that the Heat have ever had. You know, they've had Shaq, but he came from another team. They had Mourning, but he started with the Hornets. And, of course, they had LeBron, but LeBron came from Cleveland. So Wade has really been the only star that has grown up in that organization. And you could make the argument that in terms of Miami sports figures, he's top five all time.
Oh, yeah. I would say Marino, Wade. Shit, he might be number two behind Marino. And depending on who you ask, maybe number one ahead of Marino because he has more titles.
Yeah, so you know the Heat are, you know, I think the offer is it's a little ridiculous because, you know, you granted I'd love to be paid $10 million for the next 3 years. You know, I'd love to be disrespected, quote unquote, like that. But if you look at the economics of the NBA, let me give you some guys that are making, you know, around $9, $10, $11 million a year, Marcus.
Okay.
And you can let me know if you think Dwayne Wade is worth more or less than these guys. Number one, Anderson Barajal.
Ooh, all right. I'm going to say not a good value.
Number two, JaVale Shaqton the Fool McGee.
Oh, boy. The Wizards, man. I don't know what they were thinking.
Number three, Danilo Gallinari.
Those shooters, he can shoot. He's a stretch four. That's the new thing, right?
And number four, Marcus, and I didn't even know this dude was still in the league, Gerald Wallace.
Oh, man.
Gerald Wallace is making $10 million a year.
He's such a bum.
Like, Gerald Wallace was old on NBA 2K12.
Yeah, he's... he's such a bum.
But, yeah, I think Dwayne has a point. And I also think, you know, the Heat, in terms of the future of the franchise, they've got a point. You know, they can't spend max money on Dwayne, but I do think they've got to come better than $10 million a year. I hope cooler heads prevail and they can meet somewhere in the middle, you know, maybe 15, 16 a year, and then he has a position with the organization when he retires. But if not, this could get interesting because, granted, Dwayne is not what he was 5 years ago. You know, he never really made that transition like Jordan and Kobe did in their later years. But I do think that, you know, Dwayne could be somebody that could be a useful third option on a contending team.
Back to Gerald Wallace for a second. Take a guess how many points he averaged this season.
He's with the Celtics, right?
Yep.
All right, Gerald Wallace. I would guess that Gerald Wallace averaged, I'm going to be generous and say 9 points a game.
How about he only averaged 1.1 points a game?
Oh, man.
He only had 35 points total all season.
Not that I'm any type of NBA caliber athlete or even WNBA caliber athlete, but I think if you gave me 10 minutes a game, I could probably get a bucket.
1.1 points for $10 million.
Gerald Wallace.
Ski mask all-star Gerald
Yes,
Wallace.
First team ski mask all-star. And I think they've got him signed through next year, too.
Oh, man. Not
one of Danny Ainge's better moves. Yeah, so if Gerald Wallace is making $10 million, Dwayne Wade should at least be making $13, $14, $15.
Yeah.
So, but how do you think that's going to end real quick, Marcus? Do you think they find a way to come and meet in the middle, or do you think that we might see Dwayne Wade on the open market?
Considering they have a pretty decent core with Bosch and Whiteside, and if they can keep Doran around, Dragic, I think maybe they can try to sway Wade with the talent to take less than a max deal. I think ultimately he does stay though. He's not getting max money for what he wants in terms of length, but maybe if he can take like a 1 year match deal and then be free agent the following year when the new TV deal kicks in, and then they'll have a bigger salary cap increase, maybe they do it that way, but I don't see him getting match money this year, like for multi years.
No. And I think, you know, that would be his best option, is just, you know, stay home and you know, continue to be a part of that franchise, retire in the Heat colors. But The only other option I think that would be as attractive of staying with the Heat would maybe be taking a lesser role up in Cleveland with his boy LeBron.
Wouldn't that be something, huh?
That would be great. Like, it'd be a return of the favors. Like, you know what? You came to my house to help me win. I'm going to come to your house and help you win.
Yeah, I can only see that if Cleveland loses in the finals. I don't see that if they win.
Yeah, and Cleveland's going to be interesting in the offseason because, you know, you got Kevin Love, and that's kind of up in the air, and I don't know what that's going to be. And you also got, and a lot of people are talking about this, David Blatt. Like, let's say they win. He could be the first coach to win a championship and get fired the next season.
Yeah, that's my theory. I don't see him playing bad either way. Win or lose, I see him gone.
So we'll see what's going on with the NBA Finals. But how much you want to bet, Marcus, right now that you know how you can personalize ringtones on your cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
That sounded real old with that. You're like, you know, you can personalize ringtones on your cellular phones, kids. But I bet you whenever Pat Riley calls or texts D. Wade, that Rihanna joint comes on. Bitch, better have my money. Hey, Pat, pay me what you owe me. Who you think you fronting on? Oh, but yeah, we'll have plenty of basketball to talk about next week as we start to see the finals take shape. Real quick, I think we talked last week with Hat Club Andy. We both predicted Golden State. I'm going Warriors in six. What's your prediction?
Warriors in seven.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, if Cleveland's gonna win it, they're gonna win it. They're gonna have to win it in six games because I don't see them winning the game seven.
Yeah, no.
At Oracle, so we got the NBA Finals on the way, but you don't go anywhere because coming up next on the show, we got something good. We don't have any idea what it is, but it's gonna be good. Maybe we'll have a guest. Maybe we'll have more than one guest. Maybe it'll just be me and Marcus. Maybe we'll have Sepp Blatter on. You never know. Wouldn't that be great if we just had Sepp hanging out here in the studio? Like, I'm glad to be here with the Kings, and now I'm the king of everybody. So stick and stay, because we got more Kings of Sport right after this. Bitch better have my money. Line up to Rihanna while the whole club fucking wasted. Every time I drop, I am the only thing you're playing. In a drop top, do 100, y'all in my rearview mirror racing. Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Like, blah, blah, blah. Louis 13 and it's all on me. Nigga, you just bought a shot. Kamikaze, if you think that you gon' knock me off the top. Shit, your wife in the backseat of my brand new foreign car. Don't act like you forgot.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? What you want it? Don't act like you forgot. Bitch better have my money.
Bitch better have my money. Pay me what you want it. Bitch better have my.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
And now it's time to return to the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time.
It's the Kings of Sports, thekingsofsport.com.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Now it's time for Questions with the Kings, a segment where your host will ask questions, make statements, but never ever assume. It's I Got Five on It on the Kings of Sport. We are back on the Kings of Sport, Marcus and Nate. And if you're hearing that music, folks, you know what it means. It's time for I Got Five on It. It's our segment where I play the role of Quizmaster and I pose five questions to my co-host Marcus Vandenberg, and he answers them to the best of his abilities. And sometimes I agree, sometimes I disagree, but it's all part of the discussion. But before we get into that, I want to mention real quick that we are part of the High Voltage Radio family. High Voltage Radio is the spot that you want to go for the freshest, newest, weirdest, most insane variety of podcasts out there. Shows like Bayside High and Drunk, Attack of the Fangirls, Mustache Castash, of course, Mr. Throwback Thursday, featuring frenemies of the program, Bill and Jamie, who we may be talking to very soon so we can finally squash this beef. But if you want to check out those shows or any of the other shows available on High Voltage Radio, go to highvoltageradio.com. Again, highvoltageradio.com. All right, Marcus, ready to play I Got Five on It?
I'm ready.
All right, I got five questions, obviously. I've got two NFL questions, two Major League Baseball questions. We don't talk baseball a lot on the show. And one off-the-board question, which we're going to save for question five. But I'll give you the choice. Would you like to go football first or baseball first?
Baseball.
All right, let's go to baseball, since baseball has been very, very good to me. And let's start in Texas with the Texas Rangers and their newly reacquired slugger, Josh Hamilton, who's got a hamstring injury. But before that, we started to see, if not the Josh Hamilton of old, a more lifelike Josh Hamilton than the one we saw in Anaheim. Marcus, using your crystal ball skills of prognostication, what's your outlook for Josh Hamilton's career going forward?
I think he can. He'll never be the player he was before he first left Texas, but he'll be better than he was during his time and with the Angels. I want to call him Anaheim, but you know, with Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
You got to say the whole thing like a pimp called Slickback.
Yeah, I know. He never lived up to that contract. That contract was pretty ridiculous. And even when Josh left, he even said on the way out, like, look, you're taking a risk on a druggie. I mean, that's one of the things you're rolling a dice on you when you deal with Josh Hamilton. And while his substance really wasn't an issue until the very, very end, and that was like an off-season thing, injury-wise, he just couldn't stay healthy. And a lot of those guys the Angels have signed, even Pujols, for all that money, he hasn't lived up to the hype. Hamilton did live up to the hype, but I think he's more comfortable in Texas. The Rangers are familiar with him, and I think he will be able to rebound, at least be like a 20 home run guy.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'll settle into a groove. I think we've already seen, you know, before the injury, that just being home kind of, whatever he was struggling with in Anaheim, you know, outside of the substance abuse problems, just speaking from a baseball on the field perspective, whatever he was dealing with in Anaheim, it seems to have been relieved going home.
Yeah, maybe it was a chemistry thing. Who knows? But he'll be out for, sounds like, at least 4 weeks now, so that sucks.
I can just imagine, like, the, you know, you mentioned that Josh warned the Angels before he went there. It reminds me of that scene in New Jack City after Pookie died, and they're at the funeral, and you got Mario Van Peebles with his good hair yelling at Ice-T. He's like, I made two mistakes. My first was betting on you. My second, betting on a junkie. So that's question number one. Question number two, Marcus. I think we're going to stay in the American League because I do not believe what has happened out in the wild, wild west. We mentioned the Angels. We mentioned the Rangers. But they aren't leading the division. In fact, the Houston Astros are still on top, Marcus Vandenberg. Can we say officially that this team is for real? Are they contenders or pretenders?
They are contenders. I don't know how they do it. If you look at their lineup, you know, half the guys are hitting 220. But they have benefited from some great pitching. They probably have the best pitcher in the American League at the moment in Dallas Keuchel, who has seven wins. and they have benefited from a lineup that caters well to that ballpark. You have a bunch of sluggers and Evan Gattis and Chris Carter and George Springer who, I mean, that ballpark in left field is a joke. I mean, you could hit one out in left field, Nate. And, you know, you take the strikeouts with the home runs, and I think they were coming into Wednesday, they were tied in Major League Baseball with the Dodgers for most home runs in the season. So they're obviously a one-track club when it comes to slugging. So do I think they can make a deep run in October? Not with the current roster, but do I think they can win the division? I think they're definitely going to be a contender coming down the stretch.
Yeah, I thought they would have come back to earth by now, and the fact that they haven't speaks well to that pitching that you mentioned. You know, they've got the best record in the American League currently, and I think the second best overall record in all of baseball.
Yeah.
Only trailing the Cardinals. So I think that, man, it's eventually you would figure that things would kind of go back to normal and things would regress to the mean. But if, like you said, these guys aren't lighting up the world at the plate. So I think that they could get better. That's the crazy thing, because let's say after the All-Star break, these guys, it starts clicking and they actually start hitting, and you combine that with the pitching, they could be a scary team come October.
There's a few things with them. You mentioned getting better. So they have probably the best prospect in the game, and Carlos Correa, who's in the minor leagues, who will probably be up after the All-Star break. So he'll be another bat. They have John Singleton, who got called up last year, who's been tearing up in AAA, who can play first base, and that would shift Chris Carter around. So they have two options in the minors. They have Jet Lowry, who they signed in the offseason, who's been out. He'll be back around the All-Star break as well. That's another bat they can toss in there. And that's not counting any, you know, trades they might do come July. So, yeah, they're definitely in good shape offensively. And pitching, similar to what Kansas City did last year with their bullpen. The Houston bullpen is another reason why they've still been in this race and have the best record in the American League. Their bullpen has been very solid, and it sort of makes up for the shortcomings for the starting pitching.
Yeah, and I've been wondering what John Singleton's been doing since baby boy. Which, I don't know where you come down on baby boy, Marcus. Some people in the black community like hold it up with reverence. Some people think it's trash. I think it's good, but I think it's good because it's bad. Like, I just like to watch it and you know, do the Mystery Science Theater thing with that movie because it's just so ridiculous.
It's trashy bad. Yeah, I can see that.
So, shout out to Baby Boy. Actually, you know his most recent credit, John Singleton?
What's that?
He directed an episode of Empire.
Speaking of trash.
That's like right in his wheelhouse.
That is.
Like he was one of them dudes. Like his Boys in the Hood was like his first film, and it's like he came out the gate hot, and then Boys in the Hood to Poetic Justice to Higher Learning, Rosewood, Shaft, Baby Boy, Too Fast, Too Furious, Four Brothers, Oof. Abduction, Oof. And then that Empire episode.
Yeah,
so he.
And since we're talking baseball, and since I know Jermaine's listening, we can touch on the Cubs briefly. They're not there yet, bro. They're not there yet. They're better, but they're not going to win the Central.
No.
And they might not make the playoffs with this current roster. So keep your head up.
Yeah, it's. I think they're on the come up, but anybody that thought they were going to make the leap to, you know, being a title contender this year, they were. You know, drinking that Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So, those are our baseball questions, Marcus. Now let's go to question 3 and 4, which are rooted in the National Football League. We got a couple of quarterbacks to talk about this week. And the first one we're going to talk about is one Cam Newton. And before I ask the question, Marcus, I just want you to know that, you know, this is my quarterback, and I need you to be fair with my quarterback, because a lot of times you say things that are unfair.
About Cam, that's true.
That's got to be one of the greatest unintentionally funny press conferences ever with T.O. and Tony Romo.
Yeah.
It's my quarterback, and what you guys doing in fair? But Cam Newton certainly thinks that the Panthers have been fair. They recently signed up to a 5-year extension, and the deal is reportedly worth $103 million, with Cam receiving $67 million over the first 3 years. So, Marcus, my question to you, is Cam Newton worth $100 million?
He is, in the sense that this is what the market has dictated for quarterbacks of his ilk, and he sort of fits in line with, you know, the top 10, top 12 quarterback, and that's the going rate these days. So, yeah, in that sense, he's worth it. Is it a risky gamble? It depends how you look at it. I mean, it's a lot of guaranteed money up front, and I don't know what Cam's ceiling is, if we've seen it yet. I don't know how much better he's going to improve. And do I ever see Carolina as a Super Bowl contender? No, currently. I just don't. So it depends what you consider good value for, you know, 10, 11 wins at the most.
Yeah, I think he's worth it. I think that, you know, it's the market, and he is a top 15 quarterback. And if, you know, Jay Cutler is getting broke off the way he's getting broke off, much like our discussion in the A block when we're talking about Dwayne Wade, mm-hmm. and guys in comparable market value. Like, if you're going to pay a guy who is A, on the downslope of his career, and B, his upslope wasn't all that great to begin with. And he's also, like, just a – I'm not going to say he's a locker room cancer, but he wears the boo-boo face a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas with Cam Newton, it's funny because I think a lot of people and those so-called draft experts that were saying, you know, this is a guy that's arrogant and cocky and he's going to be a problem. We haven't seen any of that, really, from Cam Newton. You could question some of his play on the field, but – Carolina has not had the best talent around him. I think that's changing now. I think that you know, he improved last year, and it's a weak division. You know, no disrespect to the great Atlanta Falcons or the New Orleans Saints, but it's a division that can be won. I think that, you know, Tampa Bay's got a shot this year with Jameis Winston. I think that, you know, Carolina is right there in the mix, and once you get in the playoffs, you know, anything can happen. I think they still got a really good defense. He's got some better offensive weapons. And, again, he's improving. So I think that Cam Newton is a guy that he may not be worth the money now, technically speaking, but I think that he will be. I think he'll grow into that contract. And a lot of times in sports, we see people get paid on the back end for past performance, such as Kobe Bryant. But I think this is a good faith move by Carolina saying, not only do we think that you're going to be good, but we think that you're going to represent this organization, be the face of this team going forward, you know, for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of on the field, my biggest concern is that he's still not an accurate quarterback. I mean, when Geno Smith is more accurate in terms of percentage than you are, that's an issue. Cam last year was 29th in the league, and going into season 5, that's got to improve. There's no more excuses. You can't use the whole receiver crutch anymore in terms of why you can't complete at least 60% of your passes on a regular basis. So that'd be step one in terms of improvement. And I'm curious to see if he's going to continue to be such a mobile quarterback, or if he's going to focus more on being a true drop back.
Yeah, I think it's a process. And we saw last year, you know, kind of that transition that is beginning. And, you know, I think he's taken to it a lot quicker than RG3.
Yeah.
If you make that comparison. So I think that, you know, he's figuring it out, and, you know, it's on the job training. So I think that he's got the potential. You know, he's got the potential to be a top 10, maybe even a top 5 quarterback, you know, 5 years from now. So I think that's a good move by Carolina. But Marcus, there are other quarterbacks out there on these streets that may not be top 10, top 15, top 20 quarterbacks. We don't even know what they are at this point. And, of course, I'm speaking of one Johnny Manziel, a.k.a. Johnny Football, who got into a little bit of a dust-up about a week ago at the Byron Nelson, not the Byron Allen golf tournament, the Byron Nelson golf tournament, where he threw a water bottle at a autograph seeker slash stalker. What did you make of that whole deal? And do you see Johnny Manziel lasting long term in Cleveland?
No, I don't see him lasting long term in Cleveland. I think eventually they'll have to get him out of there. But what I found funny was the, I don't say data password, but at the same time, you take out Johnny Manziel and you insert Jameis Winston in the same situation. I got a feeling it'd be a different story. I feel like Manziel was sort of, oh, okay, you know, he was getting harassed, so no harm, no foul. But if it was a different quarterback, I think this would be a bigger story.
Yeah, I think that it's understandable, his reaction, because apparently the guy had been pestering him for like 2 hours. So I get it from that perspective, but at the same time, you have to know who you are in that situation and who has the most to lose in that situation. And I think that, you know, you got to have your people around you. Like Cat Williams said on that one stand-up special, you know, you got to make sure that you're in tune with your star player and have your team around you. And I think that, you know, his boys or security or somebody should have been like, hey, you know, either let's get the fan away from Johnny or let's get Johnny away from the fan.
Yeah, I mean, that should have been handled long before the 2 hours passed. And he's got to grow up. He's, you know, this hasn't happened to like a Cam Newton or someone who's been around. I'm sure they get heckled as well, but they find a way to deal with it and move on.
Oh, yeah, I'm certain Cam Newton gets heckled, especially, yeah. You know, when, like he's dealt with that since Auburn, when everybody, you know, call him Scam Newton and all that crap.
Yeah, so he's really got it to grow up, and, you know, he can't use the age thing as an excuse anymore. He's got to find a way to handle the situation better, because the next time this comes around, you know, say that water bottle connects or it's full or shit. I remember back in high school, I was out on the PE field and playing basketball, and some jackass launched a full soda bottle and it hit me right in the back of the head, and it didn't knock me out, but it knocked me down. So, I mean, stuff like that. You know,
did you see who did it?
Oh, I found out who did it. Yeah. And they went to the whole, do you want to press charges? I was like, no, I just, you know, don't be an asshole.
Was this a racial incident?
No, he was just being stupid. He was just decided to just toss the bottle for no reason. It wasn't anything personal. He didn't know who I was, but he decided
This was in high school?
Yeah, high school.
So, see, because in my mind, I've got two scenarios that this could happen from. Either A, it's somebody that saw you talking to Mila Kunis in your science class or whatever the hell it was, mm-hmm. and he's like, stay away from Mila, and he threw a soda can at you. Or it was one of the dark-skinned unicorns, and they were like, I'm going to get Marcus with his good hair and his great, eloquent diction.
No, it was just a random...
Neither one of those.
Neither one. It just happened to get hit. So say this dude gets hit, he, you know, decides to press a charge, and then you have another situation on his hands. So he's got to really grow up here.
Yeah, and he's in a really tough spot right now because, you know, he's dealing with professional disappointment, but B, he's also dealing with a lot of personal stuff. You know, he's gone through rehab, and fortunately, the reports came out that he was not drinking when this incident went down. So that's at least one good thing. That part of his life seems to be coming into focus, but we'll see if he can get it turned around on the field. And I think his days in Cleveland are numbered, and I think the best thing for Johnny would be to get a change of scenery.
Yeah, it couldn't hurt, and I don't know where he would be.
Because really, like, no offense to Hat Club Andy, I've visited Cleveland, I've never lived in Cleveland, but I assume there's not much to do in Cleveland besides drink.
I would assume that's a fair assessment of Cleveland.
So, you know, it's funny, Marcus, because I really was not a Johnny Manziel fan. You know, we talked about it leading up to the draft. But I'm actually rooting for Johnny to get this turned around.
Do you think it's going to happen though next season?
No, yeah. I think it's going to be one of those things where he has to kind of disappear for a while and maybe take the backup role on another team, and then he gets rejuvenated, reinvigorated, you know, kind of going the long way around to success. But I do think that there's talent there. Like, that's the other thing, Marcus. Like, he's not an easy quarterback to fit into your typical NFL offense.
Do you think he's nothing more than, like, a flashier Tebow?
That's a good question. He's a Tebow that can throw. But I think that it's funny. Like, I think if you combine Manziel and Tebow in some sort of fusion chamber, you have a pretty good quarterback, because if you had Tebow's intangibles and his leadership and things size, of that nature, yeah, and size, and you had Manziel's arm and his speed, like, you'd have a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they cannot form Voltron, and both of them may be out of the league.
You know why? Because Tebow's a virgin.
I'm still hoping that Tebow and Lolo hook up. Jesus. all right, let's go to the fifth question this week, Marcus, and I got five on it. This is probably the most anticipated question, though, that I have down here for you.
American
Apparel? No. We're not talking about horses.
Okay.
We're not talking about horses. But Marcus, we all know, everybody that listens to the Kings of Sport knows that Marcus is a fan of old school Nintendo. We know that Marcus's favorite movie, one of his favorite boxing movies, was the training montage for Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And so I've decided to bring your love of the Nintendo Entertainment System to fruition, and we're going to quiz you on this one, Marcus. Peripherals, accessories. Which one of these would you say is the best, and which one of these would you say was the worst Nintendo Entertainment System peripheral? We've got the Power Pad.
Ooh.
We've got the Power Glove.
Uh-huh.
And the NES Zapper, the light gun. Which is the best? Which is the worst?
Power Pad was the best. The track and field game with the Power Pad. I used to feel bad for whoever was downstairs when you were playing this with your buddies, because all it was just pattering from upstairs. So Power Pad, definitely the best. The worst was the glove. What did you really play the glove for? I remember I had it, but I don't remember ever it working well.
See, I never had the glove. I've only seen the glove in commercials and magazines, but I didn't have the pad either, but a neighbor had the pad, and we would wear track and field out. So I definitely rate the pad above the glove. The only problem with the pad, though, was it was kind of a one-trick pony. Like, what other game did you really play it with other than track and field?
I think that was it. Sort of like the gun was just stuck on, right?
The gun was... See, that's where I was going, because I think the gun, while also kind of a one-trick pony, had a couple more wrinkles to that trick, because not only did you have Duck Hunt, but you had maybe the most underrated Nintendo game. Was it Hogan's Alley? Hooligan's Alley?
I think it was Hogan's Alley.
I got to look this up, because I used to love that game. Yes, Hogan's Alley, which was just so ridiculous. These gangsters that would just pop up. Like, a very simplistic game, but I really loved it.
All right, looks like the powered love, Super Glove Ball, a 3D puzzle maze game, and Bad Street Brawler.
Was that starring Michael P.S. Hayes?
Bad Street.
And he was just going around beating up black people.
You nigger. Wow.
And the boss is Mark Henry.
Yeah. and then let's say they only sold 100,000 units in the U.S. Not a lot, and it was a failure.
Oh, wow, Marcus. I've got the complete list of games for the that were compatible with the NES Zapper.
Okay.
And we'll see if you've played any of these. Of course, Duck Hunt. Everybody played Duck Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan's Alley.
Uh-huh.
The Lone Ranger.
Oh, didn't play that one.
Operation Wolf.
Nope.
Track and Field 2.
What the hell are you shooting? Were you shooting the gun to start the race?
Apparently they had like skeet shooting.
Oh, okay. That made sense.
Yeah, they had skeet shooting and they had archery. So I guess you could use the gun with that.
Hmm.
They had a game called Shooting Range, which really seems lazy from the video game developers. They got one called Gotcha, the sport, which was like the paintball. You remember Gotcha?
Oh, I played Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. So light gun was pretty. Let's see, they got the Freedom Force, Baby Boomer. I've never heard of Baby Boomer. Barker Bill's Trick Shooting.
Baby Boomer looks like the baby from Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Hmm.
The Adventures of Bayou Billy.
Sounds racist.
Konami. Yeah, so the Zapper had a lot of games, but also a lot of similar theme games. Like there's not much variety other than what you're shooting in the setting that you're shooting them in.
Oh, that's Hogan's Alley. Okay, yeah.
With the boxes that would just kind of pop up.
Yeah.
Hogan's Alley was a good, cool little game. Yes, I liked Hogan's Alley. But yeah, getting back to the Power Pad, I thought that was cool. I thought that, you know, it was always something that I wanted my parents to buy. But in retrospect, it's probably good that they didn't because, yeah, like they really had one or two games for it.
It was ahead of its time. I mean, considering that was the, what, mid-80s, late-80s?
Yeah. Yeah, like, listen to these games, Marcus. Besides Track and Field, the games that are compatible with the Power Pad, Athletic World, Jogging.
Oh.
Come on, man. Like, I salute any kid that was able to convince their parents to buy them a game called Jogging.
$40 for jogging. Exactly. Sit your ass outside and jog for free.
That is what my pops would tell me. Let's see. Any other? Like, yeah, it's basically jogging games, running games, and then a lot of games that were available in Japan only. But you're right. Like, that technology was kind of the forerunner to all the dancing games that we got now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Dance Dance Revolution and so on and so forth. But so, yeah, if I was going to rank them, I'd give the gold medal to the Zapper, the bronze to the power, or the silver to the Power Pad, and the bronze to the Power Glove. Because that just seemed like a useless piece of technology.
Yeah, the glove, I mean, $75 back then was a decent amount of money.
Bad Street Brawler. they could have made a fortune in Dallas if they had, like in World Class Country, if they had licensed that with the Freebirds.
I thought you were going to make that a JFK joke.
Oh, see? See, why'd you have to go there, Mark? We were having a lot of fun here and enjoying the old Nintendo gaming stories and Michael Hayes racism, and you had to bring that into this.
Yeah, you mentioned Dallas and a Zapper, so...
I was talking about the Power Glove, though.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, you took it to a whole different level.
Whoops.
Rest in peace. I was going to hit you with it too soon, but...
It's been 50 years, right?
The statute of limitations on JFK jokes is passed?
I think so.
Oh, but yeah, that's so you're going Power Pad 1, Zapper 2?
Yeah, and then... Last is the glove for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I'm always fascinated by like the light guns. Like I used to be big into laser tag back in the day.
Do people still do that now?
I think it's one of those things where nobody did it for like 10 years, 15 years, and now it's one of those things that's kind of like retro hip. Because I'll see people posting about going to play laser tag, and so I think it's like paintball was the big thing for a while, and then paintball kind of fell off.
Do people still mini golf?
I haven't heard about people. Like, we've got like a couple mini golfing courses set up in Newport News, and the only people that hang out there are high schoolers and homeless people.
Oh.
So that's high schoolers and homeless people. That's your cross section. That's your demographics. So.
Yeah, I haven't been mini golfing in a while. I mean, that's the ideal high school activities for your buddies or a date.
Yeah. It's been probably like 20 years since I've been mini golfing. Like, I've played laser tag more recently than I've mini golfed.
And I think bowling's never really went out. And bowling's still.
Yeah, bowling's the always, same. Always yeah. solid. Yeah, bowling's always solid. So, speaking of bowling, Marcus, did we ever hear back from the black bowler, the 300 guy? Perfect game?
Like, long after after he was done interviews, his person got back to us and was like, oh, I just saw your email, and then tried to pitch someone else. And I was like, no, we wanted the black person. We don't want the other person who bowls. We don't like bowling. We like black people.
Wait a minute. So they tried to bait and switch us?
Yeah, basically.
So you had the black guy with the perfect game. This is in Boston, right?
I think so, yeah. It's filming back east.
So the black guy with the perfect
game. Three perfect games in a row.
The only reason that you would want to talk, like us, the Kings of Sport, the only reasons that we would want to talk to this man is, I would say, black, reason number one.
Yes.
Three perfect games in a row, reason number two.
Yes.
And those are the only two reasons. Yes. So instead of that guy, the person you were talking to said, well, you know, sorry it took me a while to get back to you. We can't get you Billy Bob, but how about Fred? Fred's good.
Pretty much.
We don't want to talk to no damn Fred. This is not a bowling podcast.
Yeah, I said, no, thank you. We will pass on Fred.
That is hilarious. That is like, you know what, guys? He's the Drew Rosenhaus of bowlers. He's got a stable of clients. Drew Rosenhaus, by the way, not getting divorced.
Really?
Yeah, remember we did that story months ago? Yeah, apparently he never filed, and so now they reconciled.
It's cheaper.
Yeah. So as long as he keeps her away from Bilzerian, I think he'll be good.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah, they reconcile. I just happened to see it on TMZ yesterday when I was looking up some stuff for a story that we might be talking about on TMZ.
We'll see how long that lasts.
In segment four. That's what I meant to say. But yeah, we will see how long it lasts. That's got to be crazy, though, like being married to an agent. Because marriages, Marcus, as I'm sure you've discovered by now, they're often about negotiations and compromise.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being married to Drew Rosenhaus. You're like, she's like, honey, can you take out the trash? I can't take out the trash right now, but here's what I do. I'll cook breakfast one day out of the week. I'll drive you to the store. I'll allow you to buy two garments. Totaling under $5,000, and you give me a little happy time when we get back. you're like, damn, hey, this office only on the table for the next 5 minutes. I don't know why I turned Drew Rosenhaus into Vince Russo.
Yeah, oh boy, don't do that.
But yeah, that's a good that was a wide ranging edition of I got five on it. Like the rabbit hole we went down once we started talking about Nintendo.
No Belmont prediction?
I predict that the Triple Crown will not be achieved.
I say he does it.
You say he does it?
Yep.
Okay, Kevin Kruger. Shout out to Kevin Krieger, wherever you are.
Yeah, wherever.
Like, I don't know if the dude shipped him back to Africa. That's mean.
No, it was St. Croix, I think.
We're like whoever the owner was. Look here, Kevin, we got to talk. You weren't winning, so we're going to have to ship you out. Send you over there with Akon so you can put up some solar panels.
Kevin Krieger.
Yeah, Krieger, please. So I think that's going to do it for this segment, because we've got a big topic, maybe the biggest topic of the week to get into in segment four, Marcus.
Yeah, it's been the topic of the week for sure, and probably for a couple weeks going forward now.
Yeah, all I'm going to say, we're going to give you a little hint, and we're not going to tell you. That's why, you know, we it's called a tease. It's the business. We got to get you back here. But let's just say, for everything, there's a season, and things got to change. Things got to turn. I don't know where it went. I got caught up in metaphors. I was going to go David Bowie changes at first. Then I was thinking that one song, Turn. So this is a bad transition. But hopefully, Marcus, we'll be talking about a good transition coming up next. See, I pulled this out of the wreck. Stick and stay. More Kings of Sport right after this.
Craig Mack, 1,000 degrees. You'll be on your knees and you'll be burning dragon fleas. Brother Freeze, man's undisputed and deep-rooted. Funk smoke that leaves your brains booted. What's bad, MC? With stamina like Bruce Jenner, the winner takes an MC's for dinner. You're crazy like that glue. That think that you can outdo my 1-2. That's sick like the flu. Shake 'em down, boy. I flip, boy, all the time. And cuss, boy, the rhyme you kick ain't worth a dime. Seems like there's no competition in this rap world expedition. You come around and knock you out position. Knock 'em out. No flame could ever dig a grave. Hold the back, the power back.
TRN Wrestling is the pro wrestling podcast that is tearing up the internet wrestling community. It's hosted by me, Nick Hausman, and it features some of Chicago's best comedians, musicians, magicians, and of course, pro wrestlers talking all things pro wrestling. You can find it almost daily over at therebellionnetwork.com or subscribe to it on iTunes and Stitcher. TRN Wrestling, your Chicago voice for all things pro wrestling punditry.
Want to be intellectually stimulated? Well, tune in every other week for the Atomic Podcast, where we bring you news, reviews, interviews, along with my co-host, Eve Zacannon Sannon.
That's right, E. Tune in every other week, soundcloud.com/theatomicpodcast on your mobile devices.
You are now in the mix with the Atomic Podcast, where we love the news.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, Marcus and Nate. Ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, that would be the proper pronoun. We are going to give you what you want and what you need. And what you want and need is ratchetness. And that is what segment four is all about. But before we get to that, we are going to give a shout out to the good people at PlaceToBeNation.com. PlaceToBeNation is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest news, articles, opinions, and podcasts in regards to the world of sports, sports entertainment, pop culture, movies, music, comic books, anything like that. If you want it, they've got it. PlaceToBeNation.com is your location. It is your destination. PlaceToBeNation is down with the Kings. You guys are down with the Kings. So get down with PlaceToBeNation.com.
Before now, we Marcus, start, you mentioned movies.
Yeah.
I'm doing some movies this weekend, I think.
Okay, what are you going to see, Marcus?
I'm thinking San Andreas.
Okay, you know what? I think that movie is probably going to do some big business.
Yeah, I mean, it's mindless. Boy, it's The Rock. It's earthquakes. Yeah, you know.
Your boy Rock is a certified movie star now.
Yeah.
And the only thing I wish, man, like when I first heard about the movie, I was like, they're making a movie out of Grand Theft Auto. This is gonna be sweet,
man.
And then it was just, like I was.
I'm surprised
wish
they haven't done that.
They really could.
They could.
Really, yeah. Like Dwayne the Rock Johnson as CJ. And really, if you think about it, I mean, the games have like big name actors doing the voices anyway.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that much of a transition to make Grand Theft Auto a legitimate movie.
Yeah.
Like I'm surprised that they had that
whole franchise and everything. They just based it off the games.
Yeah. Like they made a movie. What was that? Did they make a movie out of some car racing series?
Gran Torino? No.
I know they made one. They made a movie off of Need for Speed.
Yeah.
And there was another one. I just can't think of it. But yeah, if they could make a movie off of those, they could certainly make a movie off of the Grand Theft Auto series. But yeah, maybe Place to Be Nation will have a review of San Andreas. So Marcus, when he goes to watch the movie, he can come back and let us know if he agrees with their opinion.
There you go. Synergy.
Yeah, that's how we bring it all back together, Marcus. And one thing that I wonder that I would like to see on Place to Be Nation is more hip-hop reviews and maybe some old-school hip-hop reviews. And if they wanted to be current, if they wanted to be timely, they could start with the lyrics of one Craig Mack, who had a brief flash in the pan in the early and the mid-90s with a song called Flavor in Your Ear. And Marcus, you know, this whole thing is a long roundabout way of leading into our segment four topic, because in Flavor in Your Ear, the aforementioned Craig Mack had a line that said, I got stamina like Bruce Jenner, the winner, eating MCs for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk right now about probably the biggest pop culture story of the week, or at least one of the biggest, and that is the former Bruce Jenner, the current Caitlyn Jenner, and the transition has occurred, and everybody lost their damn mind.
Are you surprised? I mean, considering this country that is not really open to not just homosexuals, but transgenders, it just seems like there was a pipe bomb waiting to happen.
Yeah, it's, and I think what exacerbates the situation is you've got a lot of things coming in to play here. You know, you've got the LGBT community and the way that, you know, they are perceived and the way that, you know, society at large is dealing with them coming to the forefront and you know, striving for equality. You've also got celebrity in Bruce Jenner, who is probably at this point more known for being a Kardashian than for being one of the greatest athletes of his era. And then the last thing that you've got, I think, is social media and the way that people now, everybody's got a voice. Everybody has, you know, it used to be you had newspapers, you had TV, and you had radio. Now everybody's got a voice on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever. And now you've got everybody throwing in their two cents. And it's this big storm of opinions, you know, ranging from congratulations and this is so courageous to what the hell are we talking about? This guy is a freak and an abomination and so on and so forth. So just kind of to start the discussion, Marcus, where did you kind of weigh in on all of the discussion around Caitlyn Jenner this week after the was it Vanity Fair?
Vanity Fair, correct.
After the Vanity Fair article and the cover came out.
I was saw it on Twitter when it came out and did a double take because I didn't recognize what it was at first, and it was a Caitlyn Jenner. Wait, I was like, oh wait, it's Bruce. She looks great. My biggest issue is it just, and I'm torn because I think that topics like this needs the publicity and sort of public face and public awareness, but at the same time, it all felt a little orchestrated to the point where shortly after the cover came out, ESPN said that Caitlyn Jenner would be receiving the Arthur Ashe Award. So it all just felt planned, like, okay, this I think it was Tuesday. What was it? Monday? Monday. On Monday, okay, we're going to release the cover, and then ESPN's going to roll out their announcement, and then it just felt all too orchestrated for me. That was my biggest issue with the whole reveal. And plus, we have an 8-part series that's coming on E about this. So it just feels, I don't want to say not genuine, but there's something there that just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it's kind of this weird crossroad where you have, and it's kind of the same way I felt when he did the Diane Sawyer thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you've got somebody here in Caitlin that is there's genuine emotion here. And it's like whether you agree or disagree with, you know, or applaud or boo, you know, the transition that Bruce Jenner made, you cannot, I don't think you can dispute the authenticity of his feelings at the time.
That, yes.
Just by watching that and seeing what he said at the time in that Diane Sawyer piece. But by the same token, I do agree that there's an element of, man, this is, it feels very, not only well orchestrated, but well produced.
Yeah.
It feels very slick. And it's like, on the one hand, it's like, yeah, you know, good for you. Good for you, Bruce. Good for you, Caitlin, you know. But on the other hand, it's like, like, there are a lot of people that have a problem with the ESPY thing because they feel that, you know, Lauryn Hill should have been the recipient. And I tend to agree with them. And, man, what do you think about that element of the story, Marcus?
Yeah, that was, well, and here's the thing. A lot of people shouting Lauryn Hill, I would say maybe half of that actually supports Lauryn Hill, and half of that is their way to hide their feelings towards Caitlyn Jenner.
Just a convenient
just
way
to say, oh, well, yeah, it's just, they're just using that as a shield. Right. So, that, I mean, I...
Well, we already saw that fake story that came out where they were talking about the ex-soldier that was supposed to get it, and that turned out not to be true.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, it was like some, I think it was like a double amputee, and they were saying that, you know, Caitlyn Jenner is stealing the spotlight from this ex-Marine or ex-Army veteran or something like that, but then it turned out to be a false story that people were just latching onto in order to kind of get their feelings out about Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at first of all, the fact that we're discussing the ESPYs, I mean, just we're talking about a trivial award show that ESPN's giving out their own award to, so we should not take it, you know, too seriously. But last year was Michael Sam. I don't think many people can really, well, you can find people who argue with that, but I think that was the right choice for what he was going through and everything he did. We've had Robin Roberts, you know, Pat Summitt, Dewey Bozella, who's the boxer who...
Yeah, I remember him.
I actually got to see his only fight, professional fight at Staples Center in 2011, and almost choked up. It was an emotional moment because he was like, you know, 50 plus, and this was his one shot, and he won his fight. So we've had some people up, you know...
Didn't Stuart Scott win it, or was that a different award?
Stuart won a different award. He has not won this award.
Okay.
But we've had Pat and Kevin Tillman.
Yeah.
So I mean, we've had a wide range of recipients, but as you mentioned, Lauryn Hill was the young lady who died of cancer on April 10th, actually the day of my wedding, and her one wish before she died was to play collegiate basketball, and her school moved up their college basketball schedule to make sure that she could play before she became too ill, and she was the sort of the emotional story of the winter and early spring. And once she passed, I you know, if there was someone to receive the award, I figured it would be her. And then the Caitlyn Jenner stuff happened, and you know, I don't have an issue with Caitlyn Jenner getting the award, because I do think that a bit picture in terms of what the impact that Jenner made in the Olympics and sports in general, it's hard. You can't really compare it to what Lauryn Hill did, just in terms from a national and international standpoint. But it just felt like, I don't know, just felt like that was her award. And hopefully they do something to honor her on the side.
Yeah, and my big argument would be, you know, nothing against Caitlyn Jenner, but in terms of relevance to the sports world, you know, Bruce Jenner / Caitlyn Jenner, when is the last time you really had a conversation about athletics in regards to Bruce Jenner? Like, it's always a footnote when he was brought up, but, you know, for the last 10 years, it's been Kardashian, celebrity, that type of story. You know, when's the last time you really had an association with his athletic excellence?
Yeah, and you haven't. And you mentioned the Kardashians, and I think that's the bigger issue. If he wasn't associated with the Kardashians, I think this would have gone a lot differently. And I think there'd be a lot less people second-guessing everything going on, because at the end of the day, whether he wants to distance himself after the divorce and everything, he's still associated with the Kardashians. And as we've seen with the Kardashians, they are they got the reality thing on lock, and they know how to do it and how to exploit and how to make money off everything. I think that's the real issue, is that his ties with the Kardashians.
Yeah, I did like, though, that she did not spell Caitlyn with a K.
Yes.
At least. But it's crazy because, you know, the Caitlyn Jenner Twitter account got like 1 million followers in one day.
Yeah.
And you know, you see the big rally of support, or at least interest in the story. But yeah, there is this weird line that I think the story jumps over when you go from this genuine decision that this person has been struggling with to, yeah, we're going to have a series on E. And it's like, okay, when did we go from this being super genuine to something that, while still being genuine, is now consumable entertainment?
Yeah, I mean, and going back to ESPN for a second, I mean, this will probably be her first big reveal. So you already know they're going to be a ratings grab for the ESPYs as a result. So it just all feels just, I don't know.
So I think the real question, though, Marcus, is, are we going to get that Caitlyn Jenner Wheaties box?
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something.
Well, she probably couldn't wear the outfit that Bruce wore in the Olympics. Be a little too revealing, probably. But yeah, it just, I don't know. I'm very happy that this all happened, but I just wish that at least delay the ESPN announcement a day or two, a week. Just fool us. Don't do it the same day. Just pretend like it wasn't all orchestrated and all tied into this one day blitz.
It's like Chris Rock talking about the Jerry Lewis telethon. Lie to me, Jerry. Yeah. Lie to me. But yeah, I think this is going to be something that is very interesting, because this is all still, you know, new territory. We've seen how fast the gay rights movement has been moving over the last 5-10 years, and now, you know, a lot of people, in terms of, you know, the LGBT movement, like, the T has always kind of been silent in a way.
Yeah.
Because that's like the last group that gets thought about. But now, you know, you have this person that is front and center through A, their athletic achievement while being Bruce Jenner, and B, the celebrity culture from being associated with the Kardashians, that Bruce Jenner now, or Caitlyn Jenner, is now the most visible, the most recognized transgendered person on earth.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see, because that's I'm sure that Caitlyn understands the position, but man, that's a lot of weight to put on one person's shoulders.
It is, and we can transition now to the people who are now still referring to Caitlyn as Bruce, including, was it J.R. Smith who had the, did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Let me find this stupid story. Knucklehead.
What J.R. has been so good to? He's been on his best behavior since coming to Cleveland.
He referred to Caitlyn Jenner as a science project. Oh. And he deleted the Instagram photo, but yeah, and this is what we're getting a lot of. It's just, and it was also, I think, a pop star, someone else who also said, "I'm going to refer to Caitlyn as Bruce, not Caitlyn." So,
well, yeah, you got a lot of people, and you know, I've got friends. You know, obviously, you know, the people that listen to the show know that I'm a Christian, and know that my father is a retired Navy chaplain and Baptist minister. So, you know, faith and spirituality is very important to me. And I've got a lot of friends, you know, on Facebook and on other forms of social media that have the same belief system that I do. And they're riding really hard against this. And I'm like, okay, like, this is not my bag. This is not what I would do. But what does it matter to you? Like people are just going hard on this. Like, he's not a real woman and God doesn't make mistakes. And this is an abomination and Bruce Jenner's going to hell. I'm like, hey, like, really, what is this person making this choice have to do with you and have to do with your life?
Just imagine conversations going on in church this Sunday about this.
Oh man, yeah. I wonder what Creflo Dollar has to say about this.
How's that jet thing going? Making any progress?
Yeah, Creflo Dollar. But yeah, this is. It's funny because it's. I think that you are going to have an interesting, and I keep saying that word in regard to the story, but I think you're going to have an interesting transition from society at large and also from the media in regards to this story because, you know, I was listening to the Right Time with friend of the program, Bomani Jones, mm-hmm. and it's his statements were pretty much that, you know, just like I kind of said, like it's not what he's into, it's not what he would do, but you know, you can't knock the courage that it took for this, and he, you know, he wasn't really like propping Caitlyn Jenner up, but at the same time he was showing a level of respect, and I think that's where people have to get to. It's like, if like you may not have made this decision, you may not even agree with this decision, but as a human being, I think there's a baseline of respect that we are all owed, and I don't think right now that a lot of people, especially on social media, are showing Caitlyn Jenner that level of respect.
Oh yeah, the respect's not there. I mean, that's just, unfortunately, it's just the way the internet is. I mean, it's two different situations, but still, we're still ripping on Denzel from a month ago, and you can say, oh, ha ha, it's all jokes and games, but as I mentioned on the show before, it's a bit of a bullying. Just let it go. Like, it's just, I don't know. The internet's a weird, weird place.
Yeah, so I would say, Marcus, like you out there in L.A., man, you understand how the media is, especially out there in the celebrity-obsessed Los Angeles culture. You know, what do you think is kind of the settling point of all this? Like, do you think we'll still be this? You know, do you think the media at large and social media in particular will still be this obsessed with this person a month from now? Like, do you think this is just the story of the week, or do you think there's something bigger and the Caitlyn Jenner story has legs?
No, I think once we get past the Madison comes out this Tuesday, and then the ESPYs are on July 15th. I think once we get past the ESPYs, it will sort of fade back into the background a bit. It'll cool off some.
Here's the bigger question, though. Maybe the bigger question in the Kardashian household. Does Bruce's show or does Caitlyn's show outrank them in terms of ratings?
I think the ESPY appearance is going to steal some of that thunder because that's before the series starts. So I don't think so. I think Kardashians will still be on top. But I think everyone wants to get that initial look. That first, you know, House of Voice, everything like that. And then after that happens, I think it'll be business as usual.
Yeah, it's almost like, and not to be derogatory towards Caitlyn, but it's almost like a circus atmosphere. It's almost like, let's take a look at the, you know, the midget or the strong man, yeah. You know, or the Siamese twins. And then I think once everybody's like, okay, she's just a regular person. Granted, the story around it is a little bit extraordinary, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all people.
Yeah.
So yeah, shout out to Caitlyn Jenner, you know, and like us, I wish I had bet Sierra and Dennis when they were on the show because I was like, man, I bet you when Bruce Jenner goes through his transition, he gonna be a better looking woman than Mama June, and what do you know?
Turns out you're right.
Granted, yeah, I mean, part of that is the Annie Leibovitz.
Yes, great photographer. I think,
Annie Leibovitz can make anybody look good in pictures, but yeah, that I think Annie Leibovitz could make Mama June look good in pictures. Just she that good, ooh. But that's the ultimate challenge. Yeah. The ultimate challenge. But yeah, so I think that's gonna do it for this week, Marcus. Unless you got anything else. Any other breaking J.R. Smith news?
Nah. No other J.R. Smith news.
Has that feud between Lil B and James Harden cooled down yet?
It has some. I wonder who Lil B is supporting them for the finals. That's going to be key.
Probably whoever gives them tickets.
Yeah, so neither.
he'll be in the same seats that we are when the finals start.
Yeah, at home.
We can do his little cooking dance at home. Oh, so celebrity is so stupid sometimes. You got national radio shows interviewing Little B about this feud.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine, like, this was in the 20s or the 30s or the 40s, and be like, and it was like celebrity / athlete beef, like Al Jolson beefing with Babe Ruth. Those are like the oldest, mustiest references I could think of.
Yeah, Al Jolson, man.
Charlie Chaplin says, "Look here, Joe DiMaggio." yeah, that's gonna do it for this week. Good show. We had a lot of interesting conversations this week, and we'll do it again next week.
We had to plug our guests for next week.
Oh yeah, yeah. I do want to let the people know we have got a very big guest, a very special guest coming on the show next week. And Marcus Vandenberg, I will let you do the honors and let the people know who is going to be on the Kings of Sport next week.
Hit the music, Nate.
Yo, 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 yo. Pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's crime time.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. We're bringing it, bringing the hood to you.
Next week on the show, JTG will be dropping by to discuss his new book, and that should be interesting conversation.
Yes, that is going to be very cool. JTG, of course, one half of Crime Time, and he will be talking to us about his career and about his book. Damn, Why Did I Write This Book is the title. And if you haven't read it, you definitely need it. It's only 99 cents.
Yes.
Download it. And it's a quick read, and it's a great read. If you've ever wondered about the backstage dealings of the World Wrestling Entertainment Company, and it's $1.99.
There you go.
It's a good deal. It's a great deal. So, Damn, Why Did I Write This Book is the ebook you can buy. Go get it. And then next week, when we talk to JTG, you won't be in the dark about some of these great stories.
Dark. I see what you did there. we will post a thread on the Facebook page if you want to ask questions for JTG.
That's not a bad idea.
You can leave them and we'll pass it on to them.
Yeah, we will ask questions to one JTG. But if you want to ask questions to Marcus Vandenberg, Marcus, where can the people hit you up on social media and give you their opinions on Caitlyn Jenner?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will. MarcoWill.
You can follow me at N8, MozaiK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. You can follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/ The Kings of Sport. Go to iTunes and Stitcher to download the show, to like it, to subscribe to it, and also, most importantly, to share the show with your friends or even with your enemies. It might be a way of bridging the gap and bringing people together. Check us out also on High Voltage Radio, highvoltageradio.com, Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, and vote for us on Podcast Land. We haven't done this in a while. Go to Podcast Land and vote for us for the podcast of the month. I've checked Marcus and a couple days into June, and we are in the top 10 on the main page and top 5 on the sports page.
All right.
So, yeah, we're doing all right, but you can help put us over the top and vote for us for the podcast of the month. It would only be fitting since we're in the month of June. It'd be a great way to celebrate Juneteenth.
Oh, geez. Juneteenth.
I wonder what fraction of our audience gets that reference.
Henry and KME. And maybe Ronnie.
Maybe Ronnie. What about Jermone?
Nah.
So go to podcastland.com and show your support for the Kings of Sport. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Again, thank you for listening. Coming up next week, we got another great show for you. JTG of Crime Time will be on the program, so you'll definitely want to check that out. Plus, we'll be talking NBA Finals and see what's going on with Cleveland and Golden State. So, for Marcus Vanderberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. It's time to pop a 40 and check a Roly.
Yo,
down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, everybody. You remember when hip-hop was full of dope MCs, fly DJs, and human beatboxes? We do, too. My name is Jamie Robinson, and people call me Mr. Throwback Thursday. And along with my co-host, Bill Winters, we take you back to that better time. So come join us every Throwback Thursday for some classic hip-hop discussion, a few tunes, and check in on some people you thought weren't even out there anymore. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and always at our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMrTBT, or just search for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We're the only one out there. And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.